Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so Kevin Durant was on stage at Fanatics Fest, the first annual Fanatics Fest, and doing a Q&A with Kay Adams when he found out that he was traded to the Houston Rockets. He was very happy about that. He and his agent were jubilant over that from what we saw from video. Afterwards, after that panel session that he did a one-on-one with Kay Adams, who asked him, how dangerous are the Rockets now that they have Kevin Durant?
We shall see. We shall see.
Kevin, how dangerous? What do I need to know?
Should be a solid team. I mean, they won 50-plus games last year, played a great season. But all this stuff takes time and work and effort and execution, so we'll see what happens.
Okay, I like the answer. I like the promises being made, no nothing.
Listen, Kay, this is not a pep rally. This is not me saying not one ring, not two rings, yeah. Not three rings.
Good job,
and even
Seth,
if it
yes.
was a pep rally, I know that you can't say stuff at pep rallies that you used to be able to
not
say
anymore.
Because these bastards are always recording everything.
That's right. That's right. So I like that answer. Now, the other question, and we're going to hit best case and worst case scenario with this trade. If you're just waking up, Kevin Durant, a Houston Rocket, as you've probably heard, we'll hear what people around the NBA are saying about this deal. We'll do Acknowledge Me at 7:20 on the show today. Kevin Durant, what is your message to heartbroken Phoenix Suns fans?
Last one for you. A lot of heartbroken Suns fans right now. What would you like to say? That's not true. No, literally, heartbroken Suns fan right over there.
I just felt like, they wanted me to go. So it's like, I'm glad we both, they got what they wanted and I got what I wanted. So we can move on and good luck to them going forward. And I always remember my time there, but we're on something else.
Yeah. I think he's talking about the organization. They wanted me to go.
Yeah.
He probably should have been more clear in that because she asked about the fans themselves.
Pointing at a fan that was wearing a jersey.
I guess that's where...
That guy wanted me to go right there.
It's honestly one of the things about social media that I hate for athletes. It's that they see all the negativity and it ends up... It's impossible not to just kind of start to feel like, oh, that's the way the fans feel about me.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened with DeAndre Hopkins after he left. By and large, the vast majority of Texans fans felt like, man, what the hell? This is all Bill O'Brien's fault. I hate you, Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby. Why did you do this?
Yeah.
But because DeAndre sees various Texans fans, the ones that would say, screw him anyway, we don't want him or whatever, a very small minority of Texans fans, that he sees that, then he lashes back against Texans fans, and then otherwise well-wishing Texans fans start to think like, well, whatever, DeAndre.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love Durant. Durant, don't take it personal because some of the people on social media are saying good riddance.
Good luck with that advice to Kevin Durant. Don't take it personal.
Yeah, I know.
That horse is left
the barn. He's not afraid to mix it up on social media.
Yeah, like that's that. We cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube on that one.
You will never. The Rocket, you will never get 100% approval rating from fans.
Yeah.
The Rockets could win the next two championships, and there will still be three guys on Twitter who are complaining about how they could have done it easier with Jalen Green.
Yes.
And Kevin Durant will see those tweets.
Yeah, probably so. All right, best case and worst case scenarios for this deal. And I think the package that they gave up and the fact that they didn't have to give up some of the things that the Suns undoubtedly wanted in this deal. I'd have a hard time believing that the Suns didn't want Jabari Smith or Tari Eason or both in a trade for Kevin Durant. They held on to them. They held on to a bunch of assets in this trade. I think the Rockets won this trade based on what's coming in and what's going out. The best case is that they win the NBA championship next year. That is firmly in play right now for the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
That they win it for the next couple of years if they re-sign Durant. And that'll be another big thing that we still have to talk about is there is downside to this deal. We don't know what the contract extension is going to look like for Kevin Durant. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And as far as the draft compensation, though, goes, as we talked about, this is not hindsight reasoning. The Rockets, in a good way, almost had too many first-round picks. And you're still in that quote. You still have that quote unquote problem. Have too many first round picks, but you can never have too many first round picks. They can use those as creatively as they want, but they already have enough young developmental guys that just weren't getting as many minutes as you'd like in Reed Sheppard, Cam Whitmore, etc. That you only had to give up one first round pick. This year's 10 that you're going to have to try to shoehorn that in if you drafted a guy into a role that he might not see the court for a while.
Yes.
So this the second round picks I couldn't care less about. I think this was really good composition, but we'll miss Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks brings so much more than just his actual production on the court. It's the whole culture fit. I think part of it is you could look at Dylan Brooks and say, hey, man, you know what? Job well done.
Yeah.
There is an edge to this team now that they simply did not have when Udoka took over.
Yeah, and Dylan Brooks had to be in there, too, because of the salaries. You got to make the salaries match up. And my hope was, I mean, this mirrors very closely the hypothetical trade that you and I both gave a thumbs up to like 2 weeks ago. Something built around Jalen Green and the 10th overall pick, knowing that you'd have to throw a few more guys in there to match Durant's $50 million salary. I was hoping it would just be filler, like Jock Lawndale and Aaron Holiday. You know, just enough guys to get the number up to where it needed to be, that the main focal point would be Jalen Green and the 10th overall pick. That Dylan Brooks is in this trade does cause a little bit of pain. But the best case and worst case, the best case we all agree, is they can win an NBA championship. I think even the biggest Durant skeptics out there would think that this team is capable of winning an NBA championship in spite of what you feel about him. The worst case, I don't think, is all that bad either with this team. To me, the worst case is Durant's injured all the time. You give him a bloated contract, which you have to work around for a few years. And, you know, the 2 or 3 years that he's here, you don't end up winning anything. He's washed at the end. I'm looking at a tweet from someone at Red Nation Blogger that lays this out. In 3 years, when Durant is, quote, washed and the window is, quote, closed, Amen Thompson will be 25, Alperen Şengün will be 26, Tari Eason will be 27, Jabari Smith will be 25, and Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore will be 24.
Right.
Like, when Durant is in, like, the worst case, if he's injured all the time and he gets sunsetted out of the league because he can't stay healthy and he's expensive, you've got six guys that you used first-round picks on that are presumably still with the team that are all, the oldest one is Tari Eason at age 27.
Right, and it is. Like, you're not trying to be too clever. I wouldn't want Raphael Stone to pretend that he knows exactly what's going to happen 3 or 4 years from now. GMs don't operate that way. But if you just look at the composition of the team, that was one of the youngest teams in the NBA of the playoff contenders, and that it's to round it out and take, you already kind of had your long-term plan or developmental plan in place. It's okay to bring in. This isn't bringing in a slew of aging veterans. This isn't pulling some move the Lakers might make where you just bring in a bunch of name brand guys and hope you can get the last dying gasp out of a bunch of them. This is a balanced approach to old and new, to veteran and young players. So it feels right in terms of this doesn't all of a sudden make the roster look lopsided in any way to me.
No, I don't think so.
If Durant is injured all the time, you still have a defense without Dylan Brooks, albeit, but you had one of the best defenses in the league last year, and that was enough to sustain you to where you got to.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the moves you can make on the margins to improve the offense, that's still there if Kevin Durant can't play a bunch.
Well, and the young guys are all going to, presumably they're going to improve as basketball players. They all work hard, you know what I mean? Like, Amen Thompson has not reached his ceiling. Tari Eason and Jabari Smith have not reached their ceiling. Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore haven't even gotten on the floor yet, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're all going to improve also.
Yeah, that's the way Raphael Stone went about this, I think, was textbook. Hey, the deal is there. We can make it. We know that it would help us, but we don't have to make this move. There's other things we can do, so I'm not going to overpay.
Yeah.
And he just bided his time. Phoenix just waited and waited to see if somebody else would sweeten the pot, and it didn't happen. So Raphael Stone, I think, handled this really, really well. I felt like he was in the driver's seat the entire time.
He'll get acknowledged in about 9 or 10 minutes here for what he did. Not just
unless something happens.
No, not just
unless it's breaking news
in the next 9 minutes. So, and I think too, just taking the best case and worst case scenario approach to this thing, the best case for the league especially in light of the fact that Oklahoma City won the NBA title last night. It looks like they're built to last. I mean, we just talked about the Rockets being built to last. OKC, if this is the group they want to keep together, really, really built to last. Ton of first-round picks. Average age, they're one of the youngest teams in the league. They're, for now, one of the least expensive teams in the league. They got all kinds of cap flexibility. Sam Presti's done an incredible job. The best case for the NBA is that, in my opinion, is that these two teams, the Rockets now with Durant and OKC, who seem to be the next big thing, are facing off in the Western Conference Finals for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
That this turns into some sort of, and now some may say, well, the league probably wants Luka involved or LeBron in his waning years or Steph or whatever. I just think in terms of all the storylines and the matchups and everything else, especially when you consider the circle of life aspect with Kevin Durant starting his career with that franchise, with Oklahoma, yeah, really with Seattle, but starting it with that franchise, OKC, and now finishing up with the Rockets, having 2 or 3 years of those two teams playing meaningful basketball against each other in the postseason would, I don't know, I live in Houston and I'm saying this, I think it would be incredible.
You know what, honestly, too, as far as whatever the narrative ends up being about Kevin Durant and his career, if he can win a championship with this team, this is a situation that would be just about perfect, which is he's coming in to help put a team over the top, but it's not with the image of an artificially constructed super team. It wasn't him ganging up with a couple other superstars or anything like that. If the Nets had won a championship, the narrative would have been like, oh, yep, Durant just needs to have the perfect situation, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
This is very clearly, okay, we're bringing this guy in to help put the franchise over the top.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like the annoying super team construction.
No, and the Golden State fans would be like, well, that's what he did with us. He came in and put us over the top. And it's like, you won the championship the year before, and you won 73 games in the year that the year before Durant came in and lost in Game 7 to LeBron James. Like, no,
only the dumbest Warriors fan would try to, that doesn't, would deny that that
we
was
we must
scenario.
Combat the idiots, Seth. That's what we have to do.
Only the dumbest Warriors fan or the Silicon Valley executive that just went a little too far with the LSD microdose.
Maybe.
To create my own reality.
That's right. What are people saying around the league about this trade? Kevin Durant to the Houston Rockets. Here is Kendrick Perkins, of course, Texas's finest, Kendrick Perkins from the Golden Triangle over there, from Beaumont, and I believe makes his home here in Houston, if I'm not mistaken. I think they bring this up in this bit of audio here, but this is Kendrick Perkins on the broadcast last night on ABC talking about the Houston deal or the Durant deal from a very, very Houston angle.
This may sound country and foreign to y'all, but this is the H-Town flavor, right? Hey, man, say, man, Kevin Durant is on the way to H-Town, man. We talking about Bun B firing up, getting the trill burgers ready.
Right.
Little Kiki Paul Wall, Slim Thug,
right,
pulling out the slab with the super poker rims, popping the trunk with the KD lights. See, it's foreign to you, but H-Town know what I'm talking
language.
About. You know
why? That's where you live. You better know it. Represent.
You're welcoming Kevin Durant, and now you're legit title contenders.
Legit
title contenders. Yes, they struggled in the half court set. They also struggle with three-point shooting.
Right.
Now you've got KD. Amen Thompson is still there. Tari Eason. The reason I bring up those two guys is because they bring what you need in today's game, what we're witnessing right now in the NBA Finals, and that's elite perimeter defense.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Not even to mention, man, with that two big man lineup becomes a three big man lineup where you actually have spacing. And I like that.
Where the other three is the best shooter in basketball.
Yeah, I was like, hey, where I'm kind of skeptical of having two big men out there at once. Oh, yeah? We're going to add a third.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, he's going to space the floor for you, and he's one of the best shooters in the league.
Here's his effective field goal percentage for the last 12 years right here. And it's a number with a six in front of it.
The spacing alone, just putting Kevin Durant out there and all of a sudden opening everything up, it has that effect. kind of like how you're missing Yordan in the lineup just because of the way it makes things easier for everybody else.
Yeah.
You make Tevin Durant, you put Tevin Durant on the team, and all of a sudden everybody else becomes better shooters because they've got more wide open shots, yeah. because they've got more options. Fred VanVleet becomes a better point guard because he's got more options and more open guys. There's a lot to like about this, and there's a few things I'm concerned about, but they're dwarfed by far by the potential positives.
Dude, all those possessions in the playoffs against Golden State where Jalen Green is just dribbling into nowhere and picking up his dribble and driving to the hoop with 10 arms, knowing raised up, knowing exactly what he's intending to do, which is try to force buckets because he can't score any buckets in this series. Those are Kevin Durant's possessions now.
Also, I don't, as far as Kendrick, I wonder how much of that, I don't know how much of that would have sounded foreign to people from outside of Houston. A lot of it was just maybe the Hey May stuff or whatever, but obviously you named a bunch of rappers that are like pretty known to people, at least,
Hey Maine, say Maine, Kevin Durant is coming to Houston, Maine. That's
And then he cited Bun B. Trillburger. People wouldn't necessarily know Trillburger outside of Houston.
Right, Lil Kiki, Slim Thug.
I always wondered, like, okay, yeah, but how much of the rap legends from our young adulthood or youth really resonate with the youth? Nico said, when Nico was on the Greenlight podcast, he said the guy he was most excited to have met was Slim Thug.
Okay.
That was the one there. He's just kind of, like, blown away when he met Slim Thug.
Yeah, man. So this will be good. Kendrick Perkins likes the deal. Independent of all the Houston part of that, I thought the points he made at the end were spot on, which is they stunk in the half court. They stunk shooting threes. You went and got the best half court basketball player, best shooter off the dribble in the NBA last year by this little stat called field goal percentage was Kevin Durant. He's still elite. When he's on the floor, he is still elite at putting the ball in the basket.
And Kendrick Perkins mentioned threes. He's not a volume 3-point shooter, but he's well above 40%. And again, when it comes to the spacing and opening up things for people, you have to respect him as a 3-point shooter, which is the slough off of him and the effect, the extra syrup that dribbles off the pancake because he's on the floor is just going to be immense for these guys.
This was the worst take yesterday, not given by Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless had a horrible take on Tyrese Halliburton's injury that we read a little bit earlier, where basically 5 minutes before he shredded his Achilles.
And to put it into context, this is 4 minutes before he tore his Achilles.
Okay.
A lot of people that saw it really didn't realize that, and it looks even worse then. But it's still bad.
Yeah.
If you take into context, this is 4 minutes before Halliburton tore his Achilles.
The Pacers brilliantly took the big game pressure off Halliburton, who routinely no-shows, by planting the, quote, injury excuse that the media swallowed whole.
Oh, we swallowed it whole, did we? Yeah.
4 minutes later, Tyrese, and they're showing it on TV right now. That's tough to watch.
His low-top sneakers swallowed up his Achilles.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Tough to watch. So that was a bad take. Stephen A. Smith, though, with just an awful take on what the Rockets should do now that they've made this trade for Kevin Durant. And more importantly, I guess for purposes of this take, that Dylan Brooks is gone. Because Dylan Brooks and Russell Westbrook, those are two guys that don't get along. Stephen A. Smith, quote, since Dylan Brooks is gone, how about going after Russell Westbrook? The man is still a warrior. Ain't backing down from anyone. Can't underestimate his toughness and dependability. Not saying it's going to happen, but wouldn't mind seeing this for Kevin Durant and the Rockets at all. To hell with all the past nonsense. Let's all move forward. End quote. This guy is trying so hard to get Russell Westbrook a ring, man. Stephen A. Smith had a title-level take-a-mania take before the playoffs that Russell Westbrook was going to be the difference
right.
in the NBA playoffs. That's what was going to get
Denver. Which wasn't inaccurate, and if you think that he might also, he's going to be as much, 50% of the time, he's going to be as much of the problem as he is the answer. So the tone deafness for anybody in Houston that were to say that about, A, we've already tried that with Russell Westbrook, and we saw all of the, spacing issues and what have you that it creates. And B, it's a double whammy because, Kevin Durant has tried it with Russell Westbrook already. Remember? Remember when he fled?
Yeah, exactly.
Of all the people that are going to say no to Russell Westbrook coming into this particular team,
yep.
I would imagine Kevin Durant would be chief amongst them. He would do it very quietly.
Just a odd, weird, bad take. And that's why it's good that we have Magic Johnson on Twitter to really balance things out with takes like this one. Two-time NBA champion and future Hall of Famer Kevin Durant being traded to Houston will make the Rockets one of the favorites in the West next season. End that's quote.
That's just smart engagement right there, Sean. He takes something that is widely already known, and you put it out there where people are expecting to see hot takes. But because he's Magic Johnson, people might see it and think, oh, if they haven't seen or read anything else about it, they're like, wow, Magic makes a good point there.
Yeah.
That'll make him one of the favorites. Yeah. And there they are. They're anywhere from second to fourth most favored to win the championship.
Magic Johnson, inarguably one of the greatest businessmen among former athletes in the history of athletics.
Let's see how many. I know. He's just awful on X. He's awful on social media. Sean, you got 4,200 likes on that.
Yeah,
right?
I know. I think I do pretty well on X. I think I do a pretty good job on there. Maybe I need to flip things and be horrible on there, and I can be better in my business life.
I've dabbled in being a wholesome content guy.
Yeah.
I like once every few days I try to retweet a cute little baby animal doing something cute.
That's
you know?
Smart. It is good. It is
baby
good.
Goat jumping up on a pig's back or
people
something
like that.
Like that.
And then subliminally they're like, I don't know what it is about this Seth Payne. I just feel good. When I hear his name, I feel good about this
I feel
guy.
Good about humanity, yeah. Or at least non-human mammals.
Right.
It's easy to feel about non-human mammals.
You know what I feel good about when I hear Seth's name? Small farm animals. For some reason, I feel really good about small baby goats and pigs and things
Seth
like that.
Seth Payne, is that the baby goat guy? Yeah, it is. It's the baby goat
guy. You
want
to be the baby goat guy. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be the goat.
He's the goat in football? No. Retweeting wholesome content.
Baby goats, yes.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.